You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Numbers 14. We're going to start. I just want to share a couple things out of Numbers. I really am not going to stay long in that chapter because I want to get to another chapter that talks about that chapter. You know, this is amazing. Numbers 13, 14, of course, is when the 10 spies, the 12 went out, the 10 came back with a bad report, two with the good. And a whole nation got in doubt and unbelief, and a whole nation changed their destiny from what God wanted them to have to nothing but utter defeat and destruction, desolation. They did not fulfill their dream. They did not achieve what God wanted them to have because they did not believe. In fact, it was so paramount. It was so important. It made such an impact, and it was so pivotal in the whole Bible story that there's a whole psalm dedicated to this whole thing, Psalm 78, which we're going to get to in a moment. And almost a whole chapter, Hebrews 3, is dedicated to it. And you might say, this is what not to do. Hello. Yeah, what not to do. Yeah, I'll drop that. I'll need that in a minute, I think. So when you go through and you see this, and I think this is so unique about the Bible tells us how to go over, the Bible tells us how to go under. Of course, He leaves you the choice. He tells you what God wants you to go over, He tells you how to go over, but if you decide to go under, He gives you instructions for that too. Really, I mean, there is laid out just details about how you can ruin your life, how you can never achieve the dream that God has for you, the dream that you have in your heart even. He tells you the steps to take, what to say, and how to act to lose everything, if that's what you want to do. But if you want to go over, then He tells you how to do that. In fact, you can very plainly see as you go through the Scripture, there are certain things that we do and say that please God. There are certain things that we do and say that really make Him mad, that upset Him greatly, that grieve Him, that cause wrath to be kindled. And so here, of course, a classic case, and really boils down to this. They just insulted God. They just rebelled against God. They just said God lied and didn't believe God. And as a result, obviously, they didn't get what God wanted them to have because they would not believe. They would not receive it. You know, it's not that God doesn't want to bless us. He can't bless us if we violate the rules He set up on coming to Him. God can't take anybody to heaven unless they call on Jesus, because that's the way God set it up.
That's right.
Hello? God can't answer your prayers if you're not believing Him when you pray. I mean, it's just impossible for Him to do so. He can't answer your prayer if you're saying, God, you know, I really like you to do this, but I don't know if you're going to do it or not. I don't know if your word's true or not. I don't know if I can stand on it or not. There's a lot going on, and I really believe what I see out here more than what you say. Well, that's just not going to stir God up, make His day. Are you with me? And so what happened here was they were confronted with a report opposite of what God said, and they believed it. They believed the negative report instead of what God said, which was that He would give them the land. And they took the word of their rulers and leaders more than they did the word of God. In the 14th chapter, they had this big pity party, which we went over Sunday. Y'all bear with me. I'm catching my breath. You know, I got to preach after all that shouting and hollering. And it says in the second verse, the latter part of it says, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. I wish I'd never followed God. That's what they were saying. I wish we'd never listened to God. I wish we'd never gone out here to start with. Now, nothing had happened. They just got a bad report about the land from 10 guys, and two guys said, gave them a good report, said, we can do this, we can make it, we can have what God says we can have. Listen, the opposition is always going to be greater, the naysayers are always going to be greater in number than those that believe. It's always been that way, it's always going to be that way. You need to write it down, that's just the way it is. I mean, when God speaks you do something, there's going to be more people trying to stop you from doing it than there are people wanting you to do it. None of which matters. The one's trying to help you, the one's not trying to help you. All that matters is what God says. Amen? And here it says they were talking about going back. They're talking about being destroyed. Look at the third verse. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Well, first of all, God didn't bring them out there to die. He brought them out there to bring them in. God brought you out of what you came out of to bring you into something better. God brought you out of that old life to bring you into a new life. He brought you out of darkness to bring you into light. God always brings us out to bring us in to something better. He never brings us out to leave us hanging or to let us die. He brings us out to bring us in to something better. That's a sermon in itself. But I think it's interesting here. They got so negative. God said they could have it. God said they could do it. God said it was their land. They started getting negative about not being able to take it, not being able to have it. They didn't just start getting negative about themselves. They started blaming God for their unbelief and for their plight and for their misery. And if we're not, these are steps that we've got to watch when misery comes and crisis comes and problems come and we start getting negative and we start talking about how, whoa, nobody knows the trouble I see. You know, start singing those old songs and start thinking about how bad it is. You know, the next step, if you don't get right, you don't get in faith, the next step, you're going to be pointing that finger at God. Why is God putting me through all this? Why is God doing this to me? Well, God's not doing that to you. We have an enemy. It's the devil. It's not God. And we get ourselves in sometimes a position where the devil has a foothold. Now, not all the time. Sometimes you're doing everything just right. The devil can sucker punch you and throw something at you. But thank God you've got recourse. You can pray. You can believe. Are you with me? But let's don't start bad-mouthing God, which is what they did. And start prophesying doom, gloom, and destruction. You know, it's amazing to me. You talk to some people about, I believe my kids are going to serve God all the days of their life. They're going to be blessed and not cursed. I believe the church is growing and increasing. And they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. But if you say, times are tough, I'll tell you things are bad. These kids nowadays, I'll tell you, it looks like they're going down the tubes and about half of mine are going to be on drugs. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it. They go, yeah, brother, I know what you're talking about. I mean, people are quick to agree with destruction. And people think you're kind of strange when you start believing for something good. Now, none of which has happened, either one, destruction or good. In other words, you're just prophesying the future. You're just declaring or decreeing or believing for something, be it negative or be it positive. But the flow of the world is always negative. Always. And you'll always get an ear if you want to gripe and you want to complain. Because there are many gripers out there. There are many naysayers out there. There are many people that are critics and critical. They don't ever get anything done, but they're out there. Hello. There's a bunch of them. There's a mass of them. There's very few that are just can-do people. People that believe God, that trust God, that fight the fight. Hello. And so they were just talking negative and so on and so forth. And they were really just forming their future and determining their destiny as opposed to what God wanted for them. In fact, notice what it says in the 14th chapter, the 28th verse. God speaking to Moses, he says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my ear, so I will do to you. So what did they get? They got what they said. They got what they believed. These people did not enter the land of Canaan. In fact, they died in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. That whole generation died out. And you know what? God said, okay, you're so smart, you got it figured out, I'm going to let you have exactly what you say. That's what you want, that's what you got. Those that say they can, those that say they can't are both right. Hello? Well, the promises don't work. Well, they won't work for you. Well, the word's not true. Well, it won't be true for you. It won't work for you. It will not work for you. This faith stuff doesn't work. This praying stuff doesn't work. This believing God doesn't work. Well, it won't work for you. But on the other hand, if you will trust God and you'll believe God and you'll stand on His Word, you know what? It'll work for you. It doesn't change God. God's true no matter what we believe. Amen. But it changes our outcome. It changes our destiny. We can ruin our destiny. We can destroy our dreams. Destroy the will of God for our life by being rebellious and talking against God. And talking this way. Now Joshua talked differently. Caleb talked differently. Joshua said, come on man, we can do this. These people, they're bred for us. The Lord delights in us. And they are bred for us. Their defense has departed from them. Let's go get them. Caleb said, let us go up at once, for we're well able to overcome. Well, they got what they asked for. They got what they believed for. They got to go in. Now if there was a case for talking the word, this has got to be it. if there ever was a case for not talking negatively, this has got to be it. Because those that said they could got what they said they could get. Those that said they couldn't, didn't. Hello. Very pivotal chapter here. In fact, notice the 24th verse. God just got through telling Moses there are none of them going to go into the land of Canaan. But, 24th verse, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him in the land where he went. His descendants shall inherit it. What was the difference? The spirit. He had a different spirit. See, we got to have a can-do spirit. We got to have a believe God spirit. We got to have a trust God spirit. We've got to have an attitude that God's word is true, that it can happen, that we can have what God says we can have, we can do what God says we can do, and we are who God says we are.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now, but granted, you're going to have to go and find out what that is, because many times, generally, we believe the Bible, we don't always know what it says. But if you'll go in and dig into the word, find out what God says, and then have that spirit, that Caleb spirit, that Joshua spirit, then you will fulfill your destiny. You will see the promises of God come to pass for you. But by the same token, you can stop that flow or you can tie those hands, God's hands. You can limit God. And he has to just step back because of unbelief. And of course, Hebrews 3rd chapter talks about that in great detail. And he goes on and says this, 28th verse again, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. That whole generation died in the wilderness. Except, 30 verse, for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swear I would make you dwell in. Woo! And then he goes on. We're not going to go take a lot of time because I want to get Psalm 78. He calls them an evil generation, says they murmured against God. And then the 10 spies or 10 leaders that brought in the bad report died of the plague before the Lord. They died right there. Wow. God wasn't real happy. Hello. He took his hand off. And at that point, the congregation says, you know what? Let's go now. There were several of them who said, let's go now. God says, don't go now. No, you missed your chance. Don't go now. And some of them went anyway, and they went up presumptuously without a go-ahead, without God saying doing it. See, if you're trying to do something God didn't tell you to do, you'll always fail because God won't be with you. If you'll go when God tells you to go, you'll always win.
Amen.
But in this case, they went without his leading. It says the Ark of the Covenant did not go, Moses did not go, and the Lord did not go. Well, that's a pretty bad combination of the old covenant. If you can't get God to go with you, you can't get the ark to go with you, you can't get the high priest to go with you, you're in trouble. But that's a rebellion, that's a maverick attitude even then, trying to seemingly do something right, but yet do it outside of God's leaders, God's word, God's way. Hello. And so they went up, and of course they were wiped out. As the story goes on, because they went up presumptuously. You know, there's faith, there's foolishness, and there's presumption. Faith is when you have God's word on the matter to go do it. Foolishness is when you just, you know, you're just not paying attention to what you're doing at all. Presumption is when you think you can do it when God says you can't. Hello. But if you've got God's word, you can make it. Amen. Turn to Psalm 78. Let's kind of give an overview of this. Because that's what Psalm 78 is about. It's a very long psalm. We won't read all of it, but I want to hit the high spots. It's kind of like, you know, you ice cream, you hit the get the sparkles off of it. Sprinkles. Sparklies. Psalm 78. Notice how it starts out. This is so good because he's this psalm would be what not to do, really. You know, the Bible gives us instruction on how to live and how to act. But this psalm is about what not to do. This psalm is just slamming the children of Israel, one verse after another, after another, after another. And really, when you see that, you ought to say, well, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be guilty of that. And I think many times when you look at this, you find yourself guilty on occasion of some of the things they did. Maybe not the magnitude that they did it, but sometimes we get in a little doubt or we start wondering whether God's going to provide or we start questioning his promises. And boy, that's the wrong road to go down. That'll destroy your dream. That'll destroy your destiny. That'll keep the promise from coming to pass. Because really, Canaan, the Canaan land was the promised land. So we would liken that into the land of promises. If you want to live in the promises of God, then you have to believe God to live in those promises. Just like they had to believe God to go to the promised land, you have to believe God to live in the promises. If you doubt or rebellious or talk negatively against God, question His ability and refuse to do what He says to do, then obviously you stop yourself from experiencing the promises. Make sense? Perfect parallel. I mean, you can see that. 78 Psalms, first verse. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. In other words, this was years after the event took place, and he's going to retell what took place in the provocation and the testing of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he says, third verse, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Thank God the Bible is right out front, tells us about people that sinned against God, tells us about people that believed God and trusted God. I mean, you know, even Moses, it tells us where he sinned. Abraham, it tells us where he sinned. David tells us where he sinned. I mean, you go through the leaders, the heroes of the Bible, they were human. They served God. They did great at times. There were times that they missed it. And the reason the detail is in there, God wants us to see what not to do, as much as He wants us to see what to do. And so we should honor them where they trusted God, follow their faith, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, but recognize everybody's human. I'm human. You're human. Do a little faith checkup from time to time. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. And thank God for the examples in the Bible. Thank God that this is not some kind of fantasy fairy tale book. That it literally is about human events and human people, real things that happen, interacting with God, some that trusted, some that didn't. And you never, never come out ahead when you question God. You never win when you get in doubt and unbelief. Never. You never will. And you have to always stand on guard against it because it's always there. It's always an option. It's always on the table. It's always on the... You'll never grow to an age where you'll never have an opportunity to doubt God, to talk against God, to question God or question His promises. It's there. We need to be aware of that. Hello. And don't choose that. It's on the menu. But I'm telling you what, if you ever had it, you know you don't want it again. Don't order it again. Woo! So he says here in the fourth verse, he said, we will not hide them from their children. Tell them to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works which He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. So the purpose of this psalm, really writing this psalm, the Holy Ghost moved on the author of this psalm to write this so that you and I, the generation to come, would know this. If we don't know anything, we ought to know this. Are you with me? We need to know this about this event, about this happening, about that what we just read there over Numbers 13 and 14. That speaks to us. We face that almost on a daily basis. Battles, challenges, tests and trials, and we have a choice to believe God or not believe God. To talk the talk, walk the walk, or just crater and fall and just go with the world. To give up or go up. Hello. To give in or dig in. The choice is always there. I don't care if it's a job interview. I don't care if it's bills in the mail. I don't care if it's a doctor's appointment. I don't care what your children, your wife, your husband. There's always this fight of faith that Paul talks about. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. There's a challenge before you. And if you want to see the will of God, the promise of God come to pass, get in faith. So he says, sixth verse, that the generation might know them, the generation to come. The children who would be born, Actually, he's writing to people that aren't even born yet. The children that would be born. That they may arise and declare them to their children. That they would carry it on, perpetuate this thing over and over and over. That they may set their hope in God. Now, see, he starts out with some things we need to do. You know, from this, right off the bat, he wrote this so we'd know God's word, what he says, and we'd set our hope in God. And not forget the works of God. Now, you know, when you face a challenge, don't you forget the works that he's already done. Don't forget the miracles that have already taken place. Psalms 103 verse 3 says, forget not all of his benefits. Who heals all thy diseases, who forgives all thy iniquities, who redeems thy life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies thy mouth with good things, thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, don't forget. Let's don't forget here now when we hit a crisis and we hit a trial and there's a challenge and a mountain looming on our horizon, do not forget what God has already done. I'm going to tell you what happened to the children of Israel. They were faced with those giants and they forgot they just got delivered from Egypt with a mighty hand. How soon they had forgotten they'd crossed the Red Sea but dry land. How soon they had forgotten the waters turned to blood. Are you with me? Whew! I mean, had they just gone wacko? Would to God we had died in Egypt. They wanted to pick a leader and go back. Moses tried to stop them, and they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. They wanted to stone the leader. How dare you tell me I can have what God says I can't have? How dare you try to stop me from dying? I want to go die. Hello? I mean, they want to commit suicide. No, Moses is just trying to stop them. And so now they're going to become mass murderers. They want to kill somebody else before they die. Hello. Whew. They forgot. That's what they did. So it says here, don't forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It may not be like their fathers. Don't be like these dudes. When you read about these guys, you want to be like these guys. They may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not set its heart right and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Wow. Faithful to God. That's interesting. Because that means your spirit can be faithful and consistent, and sometimes you can be unfaithful, spiritually speaking. In other words, you're true to God, you're trusting God, you're living for God, and then you're unfaithful, you're untrue. Now, thank God God's merciful and he forgives you, and we've all been through that, so we're not pointing any fingers, we've got no stones to throw. But what he's admonishing us to do is not to be like this. Don't live like this. Don't say one thing, live another way. Are you with me? And so, from this right off the bat, just these few verses, the sixth, seventh, and eighth verses, we're supposed to know God's word. We're supposed to set our hope in God. We're supposed to forget not his works, miracles, healings, provisions. We're not to be stubborn and rebellious. We're to keep our heart right, and we're to keep our heart faithful. Man, that's good. I like that. That'll win you, right? That'll win you the victory right there. That'll get you in the promised land. That'll get your prayers answered if you'll do that. And then from here on out, he just talks about one thing after another not to do. Hello. This is not a good resume on the children of Israel. If they were wanting a recommendation, God wouldn't be able to give them one. Hello. I mean, think about it. If they were going to hire on somewhere else, I'm sorry, God could not recommend them. Just not going to happen. And the reason being is, 8th verse, don't be like your fathers, a stubborn, a rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart right, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Notice the 10th verse. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Wow. Now, see, when we think about that, why did they go under? We often talk about curses and blessings and so on and so forth. Deuteronomy 28 chapter talks about the blessing of God. Starts out in the first chapter, all the way, first verse, 28th chapter, all the way through the 14th verse. And it lists the blessings. And it says, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and keep these commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Notice that. There's a condition there. Every promise has a condition. Even the promised land had conditions. Even though it was a gift that God offered, there were still conditions. You had to believe. You had to step out. You had to receive. You had to ask. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus loves us all, and He died for us all, but we have to call to receive that. We have to reach out to receive that. We have to make a step. God didn't carry them over the Jordan. They had to walk across themselves. Oh, He split the water, but they had to walk over. They refused at Kadesh Barnea, 13th chapter of Numbers and 14th chapter of Numbers. They refused to go. When God said go, they refused to go. When God offered it to them, they refused to take it. Sometimes we can be that way. Sometimes we can face a crisis and the promise to stand there and we just refuse to take it. People many times, I've prayed with people, tried to pray with people, tried to help people, and they refuse to receive it. And when that happens, you can't help them. There's nothing you can do. You can't violate their will. God won't violate it. I can't violate it. You know, we can help people and pray with people and encourage people, but until they look to Jesus, until they trust God, we can't help them outside of that. Are you with me? And so that's where they were. They refused it. And in their case, what was so bad is they had seen so many miracles and so many spectacular supernatural events take place. I think many of us, if we think about it, have had a lot of things happen in our life, good things, promises, miracles, deliverances. And then if we're not careful when a crisis comes, all of a sudden it's a brand new day. It's like we woke up in a whole new world. We've never lived till this day. This is our only day on the earth. Nothing's ever happened to us before. God's never showed up before. God never answered a prayer before. God, who's God? It's like a new day, you know. You have to remember, you need to remind yourself of the victories. Remind yourself of the testimonies. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There's power in going back over those events, going back over those deliverances. You stir your faith when you do that. Ooh, hallelujah. So it says here, 10th verse, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His way or His law, and they forgot His works and His wonders that He did show them. And then he lists some of the things that God had done, and they just forgot altogether. 19th verse, we're going to skip over. We're going to hit the sprinkles and the sparkles and all the shiny things on the top of that ice cream cone. Whatever they be. 19th verse, yes, they spoke against God. Things not to do. You say, well, how do you speak against God? Well, let's read on. They spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God really do this? Do you think God can? See, when you question God's ability to do something that He promises, then you're speaking against God. I just don't believe God can do that. Well, you're not going to happen. You're not going to get it. I can tell you that right now. I love you and we'll pray for you the best we can. We'll, you know, try to comfort you in your misery. But you're not going to come out of that thing if you don't get in faith. Hello. You can't speak against God and believe God at the same time. Woo. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? You know, it reminds me of the times when Jesus would ask people, in fact, one in particular, the blind man, he said, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he says, well, that I might receive my sight. And he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Good question. Thank God he had the right answer. King James Version said, yea, Lord. Are you with me? That's the right answer. But if he'd have said, well, I don't really know, Jesus would say, well, look me up. In your case, get someone else to look me up when you do know. Because he couldn't have. Y'all get it anyway. He would ask that servant. Over and over he'd ask that. I mean, that's not the only time he did that. What do you want? Do you believe I'm able to do this? See, they, you have to believe. They did not believe in the Old Testament, the children of the wilderness. And that was speaking against God. They said, can God? You know, there's wannabes and bees. Or there's can gods and there's he cans. I mean, he can. He can. And he will. He can and he will. Amen? He can and he will. He can and he will. Praise God. We're not going to speak against God. We're not. I'm not going there. Are you kidding? I'm not going to talk like that. God said he'd do it. He'll do it. I don't know how, but I know he'll do it. I don't have to know how. I haven't got it figured out. He does. That's why he's God and I'm not. And you're not either, thank God. Amen? They spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock and waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. And they still said, can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? After they were supernaturally fed every morning and every evening with manna, then they come along and says, well, we want some meat. Man, you talk about the long suffering of God, the patience of God. You know, I typed up that. I thought this was interesting. Before Numbers 14. Listen to this. Exodus 5:21. They said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our aroma to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. That's what they said to Moses when he came to deliver them. Exodus 14. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? That's when he delivered them. Exodus 15. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Exodus 17. Wherefore the people did argue with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why argue you with me? Why do you tempt God? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured and complained against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Exodus 32. Listen, this was a pattern. These people were geared up. They were trained. They were black belt complainers. They worked out every day. They get their jaws going. Start criticizing Moses and Aaron. Bless God, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like this, and this is terrible, and I don't have no way to live, and here we are in the desert. And I'm telling you, when it came to Kadesh Barnea, they didn't got there yet. They had already developed an acute sense of murmuring. Very good at it. Very good at it. Sometimes we can do it. Sometimes we're pros. We're purple ribbon. I mean, we're just genuine complainers. Woo! Exodus 32. Listen to this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And they made a golden calf and worshipped him. Wow. Numbers 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Well, I guess so. We've been hearing that over and over. How long is he going to put up with all that? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Numbers 11:4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We don't like what's on the menu. Numbers 12. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Oh my, it was a mixed marriage. Oh my, oh it was just terrible. It was just heresy. It was just ungodly. And you know, Miriam got cancer over that deal. And God healed her because she repented. And then you get into Numbers 14. See, sometimes we read this and we think, oh, well, they just got a bad report, got upset, no big deal. Oh, they've been doing this the whole time. They were complaining before Moses even got them out of Egypt. It was a pattern. It was a lifestyle. That's something we have got to be cautious of. We don't want to be complainers. We don't want to be grappers. We are believers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Having a positive attitude is not a dream. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a chimera. It's not some fictional state that we're in. Being positive is scriptural and biblical. We have got to be positive. We are positive people. We are can-do people. There is nothing our God can't do. There is no promise that He can't fulfill. There's no prayer He can't answer. And we're not limited to the size of a town. We're not limited to our resources, be they little or be they great. We are only limited to God, and there are no limits with God. Our God shall supply our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know what the economy is doing, but I know that my God, my God supplies my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will bless me when nobody else gets blessed, if that's the case. And He wants to bless everybody. But see, it's only those that believe that receive it. Whew. You know, the other night, I thought this was interesting. Butch Bruton was at the board meeting. He pastors New Life Church. And he said, you know, I just heard on the news the other day, this is the funniest thing. He said, they started using the word recession. We're going into recession. We're going into recession. And that was the clip. We're in recession. Oh, boy, doom, gloom, destruction. The next clip was Exxon made, I don't know, $40 billion this year.
Yeah, sure.
He said, somebody messed the clips up. They got them all messed up. Because somebody is booming, making money, and then we're in recession.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. See, evidently, whatever the country's going through economically is not what everybody's going through economically.
Amen.
There's always people. Bill Gates was buying Yahoo for some I wouldn't say ungodly, it is godly. Only God has that kind of money. He's buying Yahoo for some godly amount of money. Are you with me? Even that say is wrong, you know, ungodly amount of money. Are you kidding? God's got the gold and the silver.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But it was those two clips were right after the one about reception. It was Exxon making all the money and, somebody making money. Can God? Yes, He can. 20th verse. Turn back to Psalm. Let me close this out. Y'all get anything out of this? I want to stir you. There are certain things to do, yes, and there are certain things not to do. There are certain ways to talk and there are certain ways not to talk. And obviously, if you don't want an encore or a repeat of what these guys had in the wilderness, then don't do what they did. Okay? Don't talk like those people. Don't act like those people, and you won't get what they got. Now, if you want what Caleb got and Joshua got, then you talk like they talked, and you act like they act, and you have that kind of spirit about you. You have a spirit of victory about you, an attitude of victory about you. Woo, God before me, who can be against me? Greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I've got the victory through Christ. He always calls me to triumph in Christ. I'm born of God, and whatsoever born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
I'm a believer in Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. 22nd verse. Because they did not believe in God. 32nd verse. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wondrous works. Now this is a telling verse here. This is amazing. 41st verse. Yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you know you can limit God? They did. You can limit Him in what He does for you. You can limit Him in how He works on your behalf. Now, you can't change God. You can't limit God for who He is and His nature and His character and His being and His essence because He doesn't change. But as far as what He does for you, you can tie His hands. You can limit Him for what He does for you. If you never call on Jesus, you'll go to hell. You limit Him to saving you. You don't change His character. He's still the Savior. He's still the Redeemer. He's still the miracle worker. He's still the healer. He is still the peace giver. But for you, you've limited Him for you. And these things, in fact, you might say what not to do, you might say how to limit God. I'd rather say, let's take the stops off, God. Let's take the limits off, God. Because in many cases, we put stops on him or governor on him. You know, old engines, they used to, old cars, they put a governor on there where it wouldn't go any faster than what that governor let it go. And if you took the governor off of it, you could open that thing open, you know, wide open. But a governor stopped it. It went to a certain point and limited it. Sometimes we'll let God go to a certain point in our life and it will stop him. Hello. And the way you do it is this. This is how you, if you want to limit God, this is how you do it. He gives you instruction on how to do that. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. Wow. 56 verse. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High and did not keep his testimonies. They turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. 58 verse, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. Wow. Well, that's all, you know, that's several things it says not to do. I listed all this and wrote this down just in a nutshell. The things to do from this, I mentioned earlier, know God's word, set your hope in God, forget not God's works, be not stubborn and rebellious, keep your heart right and keep your heart faithful. The things not to do. This is kind of long. This is the way it goes. They were stubborn and rebellious. Their hearts were not right. They were not faithful. They turned back. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to walk in his ways. They forgot his works. They sinned and rebelled and tested God. They spoke against God. They questioned his ability to provide. They did not believe in God, and that's repeated several times. They flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues, what it says there in one of those verses also. Wow. In other words, they didn't walk the walk. They didn't walk their talk. And then it says, they tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. They tested and provoked God. They did not keep his testimonies. They turned back and acted unfaithfully. They provoked him to anger. Well, no wonder they didn't go in. Hello. And how in the world could we think we could go into any promise doing those kinds of things? I mean, you just extrapolate, to use a big word, over into the New Testament, and you follow Jesus, and you see many times where it seems like he was being rough, seemed like he was being kind of hard. He was just trying to get them in faith because he didn't want them to miss their miracle. He looked at Jairus when Jairus got the bad report about his daughter dying, and he immediately, it says, as soon as he heard, he turned, and he says, fear not, only believe. Don't stop believing now because we're almost there. We're almost there. I'm almost there. Don't you stop on me now. You see what he was saying? Don't you quit on me now. We're almost there. We're almost there. Just a little further, Jairus. We get there. You go there with me. I'll go with you, and we'll get her alive. We'll fix this. I can handle this, but I've got to have you in faith to get this done. See how important that was. How important faith was. How important trusting God was. How important what we say is about our situation, about our challenge, the crisis that we're facing, the mountain on the horizon, whatever the case may be. I'm telling you what, don't you back up. Let's go forward. That's what General George Patton said, you know, when some of his men reported, we're holding ground. And he hollered and probably said, used some colorful speech there, but he basically told them, he said, don't tell me we're holding ground. We don't hold ground. We're going forward. Yeah, amen. He was upset. They were just holding ground. I think we kind of get in that maintenance mode sometimes. You know, we're just kind of maintaining, surviving, survival mode. Well, we're holding on. We're just holding on. Well, let's go forward. I don't want to just hold on. I want to go forward. There's some cities we haven't taken yet. There's Canaan land waiting on us. There's some promises here that God is waiting for you and I to stand up and be counted and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We are well able to overcome. Canaan land doesn't come to us. We go to it. The promises don't come to us. We go to them. We got to get up and we got to cross that Jordan. Most of the time, we're just on the wrong side of the river. God's waiting for us to get up and cross the river. Amen. Get in faith. Start trusting God. Get aggressive. Start believing. Start trusting. And don't start murmuring and complaining and holding back. Amen?